Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Something you may not know about me is that I hate fishing. I absolutely despise it. I don't know why I hate it, but I do. It might be because I don't have the patience or because I'm not very good at it, but either way, I am not a fisherman. I've known this about myself for quite a while, actually. However, for some reason, I've always wanted to be a fisherman. There's something that always lures me back to try it, just to make sure, just to be positive that I'm not really missing out on something big. Because of this, I sometimes experience fishing FOMO, fishing fear of missing out, when others around me begin to fish. Whenever someone around me, someone who actually likes to fish, whenever they say, I think I'm going to go out and fish, I'm always pretty close behind them. For example, when I was in college, I went on a trip to Rockport, Texas, with my then girlfriend and her family. Leading up to the trip, she had mentioned that the men in her family were big fishermen, and they were going to fish in the Gulf. I told her very quickly that I would not be joining them, because, as I just told you, I hate to fish. So we get there, and I'm enjoying my vacation for a few days, and then fishing day finally comes. I'm an early riser, so pretty soon after I wake up, I hear her dad clomping down the stairs with waders on, with his fisherman's hat, with his tackle boxes. This man looked like he was going into war. The fish did not want to see this man coming. And then sure enough, he says the line that hooks me every single time. I think I'm going to head out pretty soon. And before I knew what was coming out of my mouth, I said, I'm right behind you. He was shocked, as much as me probably, because I had made clear that I was doing no fishing whatsoever on this trip. But soon enough, he and I and some other family members were neck high in the threshing waters of the Gulf of Mexico, ready to bring home enough fish for our fish fry that evening. So into the deep, we cast, and we cast, and we cast, and pretty soon my patience started running out. It's around this point, every time I fish, I say, what in the world am I doing out here? I hate fishing. And then I start to regret it. Then that regret pretty soon turns into anger as I was getting thrashed by the waves over and over again, all for nothing. I was about to head in, and I let everyone know that. But I figured I'd toss one more out to see. And then it happened. I felt something. So I yanked the rod back. This has happened a few times before out there, but there was always nothing on the line, so I didn't get my hopes up. And then, after a second or two, I started to hear it. Whee! I had something on my line that swam. It wasn't seaweed. It wasn't a turtle. It was a fish. So I fought it. It felt like I was fighting for my life. Oh my goodness, I swear the waves got stronger, and one time they threw me down and almost made me lose my rod. I walk over to the shore and fight it some more, and then someone came with a net and I caught it. I caught a flounder. I knew I had to prove it, so that's why I got the picture there. Look at that thing. It weighed about 50 pounds, no joke. It was this big. I would have told you a more recent story than the one that happened 7 years ago, but I don't fish much because I don't like to fish. Fishing, I've learned, is a very weird thing. It's weird because whenever you catch something, all the time you spent getting to that point kind of just disappears from your mind. Looking back, I don't remember how much time I spent trying to catch that flounder. All I remember is that I caught it. Think about it. Every single fishing story you almost always hear is about the catch. You don't hear many stories about a day full of fishing and not catching a thing. But as I know all too well, fishing isn't just when you catch something. Fishing also includes the time you spend getting ready, the time you spend baiting your hook over and over if you're like me, the time you spend casting without catching anything. Fishing is much more than that single moment of the catch. The fact is, unless you're really good at it or you're really lucky, the catches only make up a small, small percentage of your time fishing. I can only assume that Simon and his associates would agree with me after a long night of throwing net after net and catching nothing. In today's scripture passage, we come across Simon and his co-workers on the shore about to go home completely empty-handed. It's at this point Jesus, without asking, might I say, steps into one of the boats, gives a lecture, and then asks a frustrated Simon to carry him out onto the water. If this wasn't frustrating enough, Jesus does something that I swear every man does when he hears someone isn't catching anything. Jesus comes up and has the gall to say something as unhelpful as, "Have you tried throwing it out and pulling it back in? You just do it like this. Wait, hold on, you're doing it wrong. More like this." When I read on, I wonder if Luke only includes the edited version of Simon Peter's response. I think Peter responds surprisingly well. "We've tried all night, boss, but if you say so, we'll try one more time." If it were me, I would have thrown an expletive or two at this random guy who waltzed onto my boat and tried to tell me, a professional fisherman, how to fish after I spent all night doing my job and went home with nothing to show for it. See, on first glance, Simon Peter's response of "master" appears to be genuine. It appears to be proof that Peter understands who Jesus is in this moment. Many people think this, but I don't. I think when Simon Peter calls Jesus master, he's being sarcastic. I envision Simon as saying, "Aye, aye, Captain, you got it," in a sarcastic way as possible, because he's despondent, he is frustrated, he's had enough. And then this guy you don't know waltzes up and starts bossing you around. Simon obviously, in my opinion, doesn't know who this is, and that's why he explains, "Look, don't you think we've done that already? Toss it out, then pull it back in again. That's the whole thing." His frustration at his lack of success causes him to miss that Jesus is right in front of him. His frustration with how things are going causes him to miss that God is working right in front of him. Peter's frustration getting in the way of seeing God in front of him, I think, reveals something about discipleship. I think our discipleship journeys, our journeys of learning and growing in our faith, can be a lot like fishing. The more time we spend in church, the more time we spend deepening our relationship with God, the more opportunities we have for the big catches, the big moments. There are times along the way when we will feel God, and those are the moments we like to remember most, don't we? Baptisms, joining the church, those aha moments when we finally get it, revelations from God, those are the big moments, the big catches that you tell everyone about. But just like when you catch a big fish, like I did, the times between the big moments fall out of your memory. We forget that it took a long time to get to these moments. We forget that every big moment in our discipleship is preceded by months, even years of devotion, of presence. Months and years where we may spend all night fishing but not catch anything. And while we forget these times when we land the catch of our lives, these times between the big moments can feel really frustrating in the moment. Like Simon Peter and his co-workers, we can be ready to go home empty-handed. We can say, "This church thing isn't for me anymore." We can distance ourselves from the church and from God because we're frustrated with our journey, with our development, with our discipleship. It's hard to be in that time. I wonder this morning if you've ever felt frustrated by your discipleship journey. I wonder if there have been times that you're just begging to feel God some way. I wonder if you've ever said, if only I could feel God, I just need something to get me through right now. I pray, I read my Bible, I'm good to other people, but I don't feel anything. Nothing has changed for me. Am I doing something wrong? I wonder if you've ever felt like church isn't for you. I wonder if you wonder why you're here all the time, or today, if you don't even feel God all the time. If any of this sounds like you, what I want to tell you is that it's okay to feel like this. It's okay for your spiritual journey to have a lot more ordinary days, or even bad days, than the super great, awesome, once-in-a-lifetime days. Just like Peter's fishing career didn't include a miraculous catch every time he went out, every day in our spiritual lives don't always give us the revelations from God we so deeply desire. Like a journey going down a straight path, there are landmarks along the way, but in between those landmarks is a lot of walking and walking and walking. Just like between me catching a fish, there's a lot of casting and casting and frustration. When most people read this passage, they erroneously think that Peter's discipleship journey started only after he saw Jesus and received the call. But I don't think that's true. I think Peter's discipleship started much, much before Luke chapter 5. I believe that it started way back when he started fishing. Way back before he spent years and years casting the net and sometimes not catching anything. Like I said before, Simon Peter was still fishing even if he didn't catch anything. And the good news this morning, friends, is that we are still disciples even if we may not feel God all the time. Our journeys with God aren't just defined by the high moments of revelation or the feeling of success. No, our journeys are defined by the ordinary day-to-day moments, the quiet moments, even when we feel like we're fishing and not catching anything. The good news is that it's in these moments, the moments and times of waiting and frustration, the times when we feel like we're not going anywhere. It's in these times that we're being formed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. When we show up, when we keep trying and pushing, even though we don't see results, God is working through those moments to shape our hearts and to deepen our faith. The good news is that we don't need a miraculous catch every day for God to be with us, because in these ordinary and quiet moments, God is working too. Just like Peter, we might not recognize that Jesus is in the moment, especially when we're discouraged. When things aren't going the way we want, it's easy to think that God is distant, that God doesn't care, or that our efforts are in vain. But even then, even when we're not catching anything, God is still working. God is still preparing us for something we can't yet see. God is here with us. But it's hard to get through these times when we feel like we're not bearing fruit on our spiritual journeys. It's hard to invest into a relationship with God time and time again, only to feel like you're not where you want to be. It's hard to go through the motions only to experience what feels like nothing at all. It's hard to fish all night and not catch anything. Trust me. But this morning, I want you to know that your discipleship doesn't depend on catching a lot of fish. When you feel like you're not catching anything, when your faith feels dry, when you wonder whether God is really there, I want to tell you that this feeling and showing up anyways doesn't show a lack of faith. Instead, it shows a deeper faith. It shows a deeper faith to cast the net over and over again, even if you're not catching anything. It shows a deeper faith to continue to invest in your relationship with God, even when you're mad at God. What people so often miss is that a deeper faith doesn't come only from revelations on high. It comes from those moments where we have to ask ourselves, was that God? A deeper faith doesn't come from seeing Jesus resurrected. It comes from going to the tomb to dress the body of the Messiah that just died. A deeper faith doesn't come from miraculous catches. It comes from fishing all night and catching nothing, but saying to yourself, I'm going to cast that net one more time. So this morning, if you're feeling like Simon Peter, frustrated, tired, wondering where God is, or questioning whether what you're doing matters at all, I want to remind you that your discipleship is worth no less than anyone else's. I want to remind you that through quiet moments and through the quiet struggles, your journey is shaping up to be something greater and more beautiful than anything you've ever imagined. I want to remind you that you take step after step living out God's call in your life through the willpower and the perseverance it takes to cast your net, even if you're not catching anything at all. And just like Simon Peter, when the time is right, when your net becomes finally full, you'll see that it's not just about the fish, it's not about the success, or it's not about the answer you've been looking for. It's about the fact that God was with you the whole way, even when you didn't realize it, teaching you to trust, to wait, and to persevere, even when you weren't catching anything. So today, if you feel stuck or uncertain in your discipleship journey, remember that your discipleship is developing even in the waiting. Remember that discipleship isn't only about the big catches. It's about the process. It's about the consistent effort, and it's about the trust that God is at work in and through you. So remember, friends, that you are not forgotten, and that the story is far from over. Just like Peter, when you least expect it, you might find that your net is full, and you'll recognize that God was with you through every moment along the way. So don't give up on your fishing, on your faith, or on the discipleship journey that you're on. Because just as Jesus called Peter out of the waters and invited him to follow, he's calling you too. And when that call comes in the midst of our frustrations, we can trust that it's leading us to something far greater than we could ever imagine. May it be so. Amen.